Blog Talk Radio.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and adore him, for the Son of... Oh, I forgot another part of it. Well, bless the Lord. Come, let us adore him. Glorify, magnify, exalt his holy name. God is so awesome. Praise God. Got a delay, but thank God, not a denial. Was delayed getting in here, so praise God. We're here and online. Thank God for only just a couple of minutes. Like, so I just want to welcome you to Block Talk Radio Divine Connection, where the Spirit of the Lord is moving by his Spirit, by love, the agape, by, glory to God, his peace, by the joy, by determination, by the perseverance, by submission, by obedience, by commitment, nothing but the Spirit of the Lord. Bless us as we come together in fellowship and intercession for the Divine Connection prayer line, which is on every second and fourth Sunday. We have a word from the Lord using his vessel. Isn't that a blessing as we just celebrated the United States of America, Thanksgiving, glory to God. But every day for the believers is a day of thanksgiving, because that's the day that the Lord has made, has blessed us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And that's what we should purpose in our hearts at all times. And thank God for the plan that he had for us. As he said, declares the Lord a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us hope and a future. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the ultimate sacrifice. We bless the Lord tonight. We thank God for you. Thank God, glory to God, for all his great and mighty acts all the time. He's always, glory to God, and always, glory to God, on board, always making provisions, always, glory to God, being there, saving, delivering, healing, and encouraging. Thank God for all that he does in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask tonight Mother Alexander to open us up in prayer. We're going to ask Mother Willette for the scripture reading as soon as I find it in just a moment, and I'll open y'all lines. Had it written down. I want to make sure what page did I write it on. But I thank God, glory to God, for all that is trying to join us tonight. We know it's holiday weekend for some that are traveling and other things may be going on, and even those that are making time around the travel. But sometimes, glory to God, you know, we have other assignments that the Lord will bless us to do, or either things, glory to God, just even for joy and fellowship. But those that will and can, thank God for you tonight, being able to come on board with us. Praise God. Mother Willette Evangelist, if you would find Ephesians 1:7, and also read John, 1 John 1:9, I certainly would appreciate that. So in the meantime, a grieving greetings unto you all, and thank God for you. Praise the Lord, as you can gather, evidently, but we already figured out that God has graced me to speak. A time was getting close, and I never did hear in my spirit who was going to be on board tonight. And kind of casually asked Apostle Bernie, but she already knew better, because I already knew the other day. When I asked her, she's already dealing with her husband, and challenges with his body. And then I think he was getting ready to come in from dialysis too as well. So that was just something I just put out. I already knew by that time it was coming on you, you truly. Bless the Lord. And I really didn't hear clearly until, was that Friday or Saturday? Might have been maybe Friday night to Saturday. And then really, 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 really
got in my spirit last night. And today he gave me some things to write down. So I'm going to take it by faith. And something Pastor Burton, when we were praying with Pastor Burton yesterday, it was a blessing. And it was a powerful prayer of intercession. And, of course, we also have the prayer warriors prayers there. And then we are praying with Pastor Prophet Burton that night. And the Lord blessed the powerful prayers going forth, of course, of intercession. And then we talk about amazing grace all the time, or we say something about the grace and then how great thou art and all that. And for some reason, and Come Leader says it on regular now, have an amazing day. That's just her thing now. She's been into it about the last few months. But for some reason, when Pastor was praying, that amazing grace, and it just happened like it was leaked out at my spirit, man. So that's more or less tonight about his amazing grace and also mercy. Praise the Lord. So in the meantime, I will bring forth as much as the Lord would allow to come up in my spirit. And that, you know, a little bit of it is going to be a little bit of teaching, but the other things and so forth as we go further on in there, prayerfully to be something to encourage your heart, but a little bit of history, a little bit in some of it. But right now, I thank the Lord again for tonight. I ask the Lord to bless and ask him to continue to bless my lives and giving him glory, praise, and honor for the great and mighty God that we serve. He's awesome, wonderful, and phenomenal. Our El Shaddai, our Jehovah Jireh. We're not on yet? Why does it say it's 90 seconds? Please don't tell me this thing getting ready to cut off. What is happening to my service tonight? I know we should have plenty of time on this thing. I don't know what's going on. Oh, Lord, please. But nevertheless, we're going to get ready to have... tell me, Jesus, what is going on? But anyway, I'm opening the line for Mother Alexander to pray, and then we're going to have scripture reading by... if you find out something is going on with our system, hold on to the lines until we pray and find out, and I'll just do some research because I have no idea why it's counting us down to seconds when we ought to be having full service of 2 hours. But anyway, so if anything happens, just hold on, and I'll try to research what's going on. But at this time, Mother Alexander and then Evangelist,
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise and glorify you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us another day. Thank you for grace and mercy in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Because you are the God that deliver, you are the God that heal. There is none like you, Heavenly Father. And we come tonight just to give you glory and to praise you and to thank you, Lord, for the daily bread, Lord God, the spiritual bread that you gave us, knowing that without you, Lord God, we have none. And, Lord, thank you for the prayer line partners, Lord. Thank you for the one that you put in the head of the prayer line, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for her. And most of all, Heavenly Father, we ask you, Heavenly Father, to keep us all in one mind, Lord. One, that when we open our mouth, Lord God, we always open the mouth with love, knowing that you are a God of love. And we give you glory tonight, and we give you praise. We thanking you, Lord Jesus, for you watch over our families, sons and daughters, grands and great-grands, oh God. Only you keep them, Heavenly Father. And we thank you so much, Lord, for being so good to us all, Lord God. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters, those we know and those we don't know, wherever they are, Lord. We stand in the gap, Father God. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to continue to keep our edge around them, Lord. Let them remember, Lord God, that you is a God that answers prayer. You is a God that never leave us, never forsake us. Help us to stand strong in your word, Lord God. And help us to seek you more and more, Father God. And to know that you are the only living Savior, Lord. There is no other. We give you praise. We give you glory today, Heavenly Father. And we thanking you most of all, Lord God, for sheltering us from all sickness and diseases, Lord. Because you said in your word, Lord God, you take away sickness from the midst of us. Help us to stand boldly and proclaim the word that you gave us, Lord God, knowing that you is not a man that you should lie. If you said it, help us to stand faithful and believe it. For we know that you are the God that heals. And we thank you, Lord God, because none can heal like you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we give you praise today. Thank you, Lord God. Use the one that you used to have tonight to bring the word, Lord. Use our mightily to bring the word, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we thank you for what you've done in each and every one of our life. Because, Lord, we know that if it's not been for the Lord on our side, we know we could not be standing here tonight. But, Lord God, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor, Lord God. Help us to walk in the authority that you gave us, Lord God. Help us to know that we are more than conquerors. We are children of the living God. That if you said we can bind, help us to know that we can bind things here on earth. But we need to stand by faith when we open our mouth and believe it, that it shall come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Help us to walk this narrow road, Lord God, and to stand faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Truly we give glory, honor, and praise to the Most High God. God, we thank you for the word on tonight. Praise God. We thank you for Ephesians 1 and 7. That says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. That was Ephesians 1 and 7. And 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. That was 1 John 1 and 9. And praise God, Ephesians 1 and 7. Thus, hallelujah, the reading of the word on tonight may the Lord add a blessing to the not just the hearers, but the doers of his holy word. Bless the Lord and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God for the prayer and the reading of the word and being available as you be on your post. Never know when God may call upon us. Thank God for these two definitely are willing workers and on their posts with the prayer warriors all the time. Praise God. Father, we come before you and thank you tonight and thank you for what was done thus far. Thank you for bringing us back together to glorify, magnify, and uplift your holy name. And God, we thank you tonight as this word go forth. We pray that this flesh be crucified and the spirit of the Lord be glorified. And what was he say? It's the word in my mouth. That glory that whatever be said, it will glorify you and be a blessing to the hearer in the name of Jesus. And God, any of those that are sick or any of those that are afflicted with anything or any of those that were trials or going through various things in their minds or even things that we need to correct in our life, whatever the situation is, God, you know us and you know what we're in need of. We pray, glory to God, as we continue to pray, intercede one another, and even for the word that will bring us to a place to shift us even closer as we yield and avail ourselves to you even the more. Amen. Praise God. Praise your holy name. Well, the topic, as I was saying, was God has given me concerning amazing grace and also mercy, and those two, they tie together. So I'm going to read a little bit to you for a little bit tonight, meaning with the grace, the message that forgiveness and redemption are possible regardless of sin committed, and that the soul can be delivered from despair through the mercy of God. It is also a Christian hymn with words written by the English poet and the clergy John Newton, published in 1779, with the message that forgiveness and redemption are possible. And research says reveals that the author John Newton was a slave trader who reputed
his childhood faith and led and his personal life. He is said to have experienced a spiritual conversion during 1748 storm that threatened his life and his slave ship. Now, isn't it amazing when we think about it, how trials and tribulations and tragedies and different things going on in people's life and cause them to be turn their life around and turn it over to the Lord. And even whatever the history is concerning him being a slave master, I know it had to be, a horrific kind of situation, those things that were going on for the slaves, but also for him being the taskmaster. But God allowed that storm or whatever went on at that time to threaten his life and the slave ship to cause him, glory to God, to turn his life over to the Lord. Isn't that phenomenal what transpires and can transform us into the marvelous light? Thank you, Jesus. We bless the Lord. We can think about that in so many of the old patriots' lives as well as ours, but we'll get there. Amazing Grace, how this was the song. This is just a couple of words out of the lyrics. It says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Twas grace that had taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me." Thank God for Jesus coming on the scene at that time. Glory to God, he wasn't there, but the Spirit of the Lord through our Father, praise God, was touched the heart. But we can think about, glory to God, how we've been ransomed by Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for redemption. Redemption, the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. And thank God for Jesus. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or cleansing debt, the buying back of something. And thank God for Jesus buying us back, glory to God, redeeming us back to the Father. He said his precious blood and suffered and died and went through all the horrific pain and agony on our behalf. So we thank God, glory to God, for saving and redeeming us, and glory to God, because remember that we are bought with a price. We are no more our own. Now, biblical redemption. In Christian theology, redemption through grace, Greek, it says, refers to the deliverance of a Christian from sin. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, my sister just read that when she read 1 John 1:9, and this is something we should live by daily. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus already paid the price, and glory to God, and we've accepted Christ, and we have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. But in the meantime, there's a war between the flesh and the spirit and so forth. If we don't feed the spirit man, glory to God, to build us up and groom us and grow us, glory to God, and get in a place to submit to the Lord, glory to God, then of course, then we're operating in sin through the flesh. And so if we don't make up our minds who we're going to serve, then we'll find ourselves repeated offender against the Lord because the fact that we're allowing that flesh to rule in the house. And so when we start allowing the spirit man to have way, we will grow. We will have the mind of Christ. We'll be led by his spirit. People will see the light in our lives and whatever. It's this amazing grace on a daily basis when we think about the things that we get caught up in, things that we do, and even sometimes our attitude. Sometimes you don't have to necessarily be out there, glory to God, sending through sexual relationships or out there, glory to God, shooting, killing, or stabbing. But things, glory to God, we can cause so much harm even with our tongue. And whatever, and cause all kinds of things, horrific things to go on. But the thing about it is, thank God for redeeming us, and thank God for his mercy. Thank God daily for, glory to God, having an advocate that we can go to. That's why it's imperative for us to confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People that are saved, filled the Holy Spirit, preaching, teaching the word, leading the flock of God. And sometimes you'll see something continuously errors in their lives, and it's sometimes you know it's got to be because a person hadn't made up their mind they're going to surrender that thing to the Lord, or they're too caught up in their pride, or they're caught up in various other things that keep them from yielding themselves to the Lord. And so that sin in the camp, whatever we do is sin. If we are disobedient, rebellion, stubbornness, all of those things accounted for sin. Things over to God that we could turn back around and injure somebody, hurt somebody, don't want to walk in forgiveness, don't want to walk in love because how bad they hurt us or injured us. We need to do what Jesus did because he went through already on our behalf so that way we can be able to be triumphant of the victorious overcomers. And we hear it and we pray it and how much we are more than conquerors. But we cannot have these little things we call secret sins. They may seem secret, but God knows them all. And he allowed others, glory to God, to see it in you too when God give a word sometime about some things in the prophetic. God may allow some things to come to pass and give somebody word or knowledge about some things. We got to get to a place nothing is hidden from the Lord. And if we want to live right and walk upright before the Lord, and we want the blessings of the Lord, we got to make sure we get these little foxes and these little things that trip us up out of our lives as well. Because some things, we can be so anointed in this area, are blessed over here and triumphant there and more than a conqueror there and victorious over there, but this other thing God been after for the long time and it's deeply rooted in there, but you won't let go of. After a while, it's going to be like a bowling ball because he keeps going after that thing. It's going to be like, glory to God, knocking the pins down, because after a while, it's going to start growing. And just like a potato or either an apple or something in a bushel or a bag or whatever, if that thing does not be taken out and whatever like this, then it's also going to contaminate the rest. So some things that we're just, oh, bless the Lord and how God is blessing the move, he give us time, grace, and mercy to get some things right so that way we won't have to fall prey to the enemy and he don't have to turn back around and expose us to the congregation, because he said, I'll deal with you in secret, but then he turn back around, he'll expose it to the congregation. I got way ahead of here and some more. Bless the Lord. Bring it back to the okay, let me get a few things out. Praise the Lord as well. And 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself, and we're talking about Jesus, as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Okay, and we're going to move forward. Something else I want to share in between here. It don't look like we're going to get through all this right here because the way I'm going already now. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 Peter 2:24, he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. And we are to live a righteous life, a holy life. But sometimes even the world looking at us as others in the body of Christ, how righteous are we living? Supposed to be right standing with the Lord, and we got these little things of idiosyncrasies and these little situations and how I am and this is how I am and the Lord know my heart, and he said your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it but him? Your tongue and so forth like that. Who can tame it but God? But you got to be willing and obedient. Not only just eat the good of the land, to get to eat the good of the land, you got to be submitted and committed to submission to the Spirit of the Lord. Humbling ourselves. Submission in obedience to him, in a place and so forth like this, denying this flesh. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy and grace every morning, every day. Glory to God. Because there are spirits out there that will provoke us and agitate us. And there's some things that we have not allowed God to move in our lives. And that's why our tempers get so heated about certain things. We can be so calm with this one and so calm with that one and this, that, and the other. And then when this one come about, whether it be our child, our husband, or glory to God, or wife, oh, my goodness. Or we can be in church with the believers and glory to God and somebody else that's an unbeliever or somebody that's just walking contrary and these attitudes and these tempers and these emotions and lending our ear to foolishness because somebody has some knowledge about something true or false. We ought to not lend our ear to busybody and then sowing discords and whatever. Okay. Forgiveness. Okay, mercy. To treat that with kindness and forgiveness, compassion, and forbearance, show as an offer, show to an offender or to one, subject to one's power also, compassionate treatment, beg for mercy. It's saying, you know, here it is, mercy, to treat one with kindness. And so if somebody was offended you and whatever like that, and you have the power and so forth like this to go off and be, it don't take nobody, I mean, it's easy to go off and whatever, take a strong person to hold their composure, not suppress it, you know, but to come to a place and so forth like this, do what James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And what do you want to do is win people to Christ. And even if they are in Christ and they need some deliverance in some area, if you've already been, well, as he told Peter, when you've been converted and you can strengthen your brother, then you ought to not be able to go off like a cannon or just glory to God, just show out and so forth because you got a feelings and emotions. And then we know there are going to be some times where agitation, provoking, and this, that, and the other. But the Bible didn't even say be angry but sin not. Some is just sound outright out sin. You done made your point, but you got to go here and you got to go there. And then you got to always remind them of how it is, or what is in a marriage or relationship or your children, or your children go over to God trying to remind you of what you did or didn't do when you was out there before you got saved. You don't understand and all this. But just believers, and we turn back around and allow the enemy to pull us out on the carpet. And you know what? And when he constantly brings us out on the carpet, you know it's not so much that that person needs to change. The Lord let us know we need to change because a magnet only draws his own kind. So what is it that's drawing us out there to be so frustrated, so agitated, because she and this all the time, this one. So something in us that we haven't settled to let God come in to heal and to deliver in one way or another for us to be so frustrated over the same thing over and over. When are we going to have the victory? And the enemy loves that because he can steal your testimony. But some things they don't have to steal, you just gave it to him. But praise the Lord. Mercy appears in the Bible as it relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. Example, God the Father showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his son, Christ Jesus, on the cross to pay the price for our sins. But the Bible also defines mercy beyond forgiveness and withholding punishment. God shows us mercy for those who are suffering through illness and comfort. God shows mercy to those alienation of suffering and caring about those in distress. He acts from compassion and acts with mercy. And that's what he wants us to do. We have his spirit, and we yield to the spirit of the Lord. Those are kind of attributes we're to have on the attributes of Jesus Christ. Mercy beyond forgiveness and withholding punishment. Okay. And it says Psalms 51:1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. And now we're always talking about every time the year ends and going into the new year. Oh, so many people have those, God, I'm trying to remember the word that people use all the time. Can't think of it. I know you all know what I'm saying when you get ready to get into that, my mind going so fast now. But we ought to not be to that point. Every year we have some, then when you reflect back on it, it's just like a default, like a computer. You go right back to that same screen, right back to that same situation. We're to the point we ought to be allowing the word of God each day, each month, each year, whatever circumstance is going on in our lives, more and more as we get the word in us and allow the word work some things out of it. Walk in the truth of obedience and submission in faith and know, glory to God, that I have that determination that I am going to allow that word to change me, rearrange me, get me stable, get me steadfast, unmovable, so I can be always abounding in the work of the Lord. So it won't be no more I but the Christ, but not to turn back around, give this to JC, give this to Jesus. You put this on the altar, pack up some of the stuff and come right back with it, and we see the same kind of attributes of your flesh instead of reflecting back on the attributes of Christ. Got the knowledge, but being the doer is a different thing because it's going to take discipline. According to the dictionary, mercy is a noun. It's a mission performed to relieve suffering. It's an event to be grateful for. It's the compassion of forgiveness shown to someone, but mercy is a noun in action. You know what? All this time I'm talking, I need to make sure somebody's there because the thing stopped recording, that it did not cut us off. Open up Mother Willette. Mother Willette, can you hear me?
I still hear you.
Okay, then thank God, whether recorded or not, we're on. Praise God. But anyway, mercy is a noun. It's a mission performed. This is worth repeating. It's a mission performed to relieve suffering. It's an event to be grateful for. It's the compassion or forgiveness shown to someone. But mercy is a noun in action. Mercy is a noun in action. Mercy is a noun in action. Thank God for renewed mercies every morning from all that already done transpired through the hours before, throughout the night, through whatever prior to coming into the morning. Thank God for, hey, shalom alabosa. Thank God for Jesus and him being our advocate. And the thing about it, what is unforgiveness doing even right now in the land, all around the globe? Unforgiveness, and that's where Jesus came, sacrificed, and the Son of God, the Lord loved us so much, our Father, that he sacrificed his Son. Glory to God. And then the Son sacrificed his life, the ultimate sacrifice, shedding his blood and going through while we were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. Mercy and grace, and still giving us mercy and grace in the midst of sometimes the things that we allow the enemy to come in with our flesh and just put on a flesh on parade show. Oh, my God. And then where you get heated in the moment and saying and doing things, oh, glory to God, and feel like, you know, you got to be vindictive and you got to have, glory to God, your own redemption about how you want to handle this, that, and the other. And here is the enemy just having a field day and setting us back. And some of our blessings going to be denied, and some may be delayed. And that either way is not good one way or the other. Glory to God. Because even when it's delayed, it gives more place for more frustration, more aggravation, more room for you to be frustrated and aggravated and still do what. If you don't wake up out of your sleep or whatever's going on at the time, you can make it even worse and give more place to the enemy. And it gets so worse that it can be to the point where it get denied. We can talk about Saul with that and what about this, all his disobedience to the Lord and what God commanded him to do, and that flesh got on there and caught showing out and doing the thing. He got dethroned. He might have been sitting on the physical throne, but he was dethroned because God raised up him another, glory to God, leader, king, and whatever, even though he may have to go through the process of, glory to God, going to boot camp and all of that so he can be prepared and not have the stuff that was in him. That was going on in Saul, that all of that, if anything was there, to burn that out so that way he can be the king that God called him to be. And he was a man after God's own heart. Even though there was error in in his life, God's mercy and grace, even when he turned back around and laid with Bathsheba, when he turned back around and did some number to people, when he did some other things, he was a man after God's own heart because he was so quick to repent. And whatever he repented of, you never hear nothing in the Bible or nothing taught that he ever repeated anything that he ever did when he fell in sin. But if we can have a repentant heart and not just pinned on, glory to God, oh, because of God's grace and his mercy, God said we don't have no cloak for our sins, no cloak. So it's not going to be like you have an excuse because you live it under grace. Praise the Lord. Getting a little ahead. But thank you, Jesus. And this thing right here that says, that is an action word. My God, sometimes even situations when people done did us wrong, whether it's in a relationship or adultery or whether it's fornication, whether it's somebody stole something from me, whether it's somebody that was so close to us and they turned back around and grieved us so because they betrayed us, or whether it was a wayward child or whether it was whatever situation may have gone, and the unforgiveness. The no mercy. And who is hurting the most from it? Because sometimes until a person gets their life right or get to the point where they actually repent or ask for forgiveness, and we don't forgive, we're the one that's in prison. We're the one going out like work release, like, you know, a prisoner, glory to God. They done earned enough credits, enough like this, and trustworthiness that they can, okay, you got to be in chains, or you may have a gun on you, may not have the literal chains on you, but you out there, so you can go out and work in this place and work. But then when the end of the day, 9 to 5 or whatever hours you're working, you got to get back in jail and be locked down. Sometimes that's the kind of life some believers live. because the fact of it is certain things they're carrying, the weights or things on their mind or things they didn't let go, things that hurt. Some stuff right here got some chains on us like a ball and chain from childhood. You were raped. Your mama didn't want you. Your daddy didn't want you. This one right here did incest. This one over here did this to me. This one already made me feel like the black sheep. Still repeating the same thing, the devil having a field day. You're victorious over here, triumphant over there, more than a conqueror over here, but this right here just like a fallen chain. You know what? Every time I think about it, sometimes when I think about this, or get into conversation. Now, when we get into conversation and we're doing testimony, that's one thing. When the Lord uses that as a testimony and you free, there's no bondage there, there's no grief there, there's no your confidence don't change from smiling to happy to excited. All of a sudden when that comes in, that's just like somebody coming in a room that you say you done forgave and you don't have nothing to do with them now. But in the meantime, you just all this going on, they walk in the room or you hear the name. They can be all the way in California, and you over here in North Carolina, or you over here in Florida, and just hear the name. And you just get so, oh, you just get such an attitude, or you got to throw a little seed out there, a discord, trying to get somebody else to side with you about how this person did and what they did. And I won't take that either. So I know. And then the party that's doing that, being a party to another man's sin, of the unforgiveness too as well, or anything else being done. Okay, let me go on off of that because I'm getting a little bit out there, but it sounds just right with mercy and grace, the noun, the action. Compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. Woo, isn't that rich? Compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. Compassion is more than feelings. More than feelings, concerned about someone in distress or in a distressful situation or caring about a person's misfortune. There is action associated with compassion, and that action is mercy. And I can't remember the situation in the Bible and stuff like this when this man had needed bread or something or whatever like this, and this other one was sleeping, he's knocking on the door and whatever, I just wanted him, whatever, and then, you know, we can turn back around and tell somebody, even sometimes witnessing the people, oh, just be blessed and want to win them to Christ. They have a need. Instead of fulfilling that need, glory to God, of the hunger or whatever it is right here they got going on, you'll turn back around and trying to reach them when they hungry and they can't hardly think. You know what it is like when if you actually hungry, we ain't talking about because I ate chicken today, you know, and I don't have no taste for it, and I really want steak, oh, you know, and, you know, I really, you know, I'm just hungry for something, but I just can't put my finger. No, hungry, stomach growling, hurting, and can't even hardly think when you get so hungry or you're thirsty and you just kind of get a little bit delirious because you're hungry, you're trying to focus. Hungry when we can be able to fulfill that need and still tell somebody to be blessed. And in the meantime and so forth like this, but that determination for that person finally, and then the person gets up. It should never have to be to the point that we shut up our bowels against our brother. We ought to be able to grow to God if there's a need, fulfill it. Praise the Lord. Another time, maybe before tonight, though, I'll go and look that scripture up that I really would like to expound on, but it's just coming as I'm reading things. Praise the Lord. So there is action associated with compassion, and that action is mercy. And it could be not only food. It could be various different other things. When compassion acts to alleviate suffering, it becomes mercy. It could be different, various things somebody might be going through. You showed mercy. You showed, glory to God, that compassion, glory to God, of being able to meet that need, even if it's just somebody taking some time to minister, to encourage, to hear somebody out because they're distressed and they're overwhelmed and certain things are going on in their lives. Different types of compassion, but it's an action word too as well. What does mercy look like? Mercy doesn't always involve grand moments or gestures, but it always treats the position of influence, authority, or power in action from a gentle perspective. Mercy makes room for others. Sometimes mercy means choosing not to complain to the restaurant manager when the service you received was lacking. That's the mercy of kindness. We can elaborate more on some of these things, but I'm just going to leave it there because I need to get somewhere. Sometimes mercy means not making it difficult for the person who offended you to apologize. That's the mercy of forgiveness. And how many of us throughout life or any time or have seen it done and may be guilty too, as even somebody that done really hurt you and they turn back around and trying to apologize and whatever, like, but you hurt so severely and won't let God really give you words of wisdom or whatever, and you make that person feel, oh, my God, worse than what they did to you from the fact of how they did it or what they did or when they did it and what you, to the point where even in the apology, almost to the point where some have the audacity to say, I ain't accepting your apology. I don't forgive. If you don't forgive, your father said he won't forgive you of your transgression. That's holding up your blessings. We're going to leave that one right there. Just let him meditate. We're not going to go there. Sometimes mercy means helping a child escape poverty. That's mercy of compassion. Just different kinds of compassion. People in the Bible whom God has showed mercy and his grace to understand mercy and grace, excuse me, we must first understand that we are undeserving of either or their foundation of love. I may have to drink some water, excuse me. Love of God, the agape. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, it's worth repeating, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8, Christ Jesus' life, death, and resurrection brings about the perfect culmination of mercy and grace. Oh, glory to God. We can know that mercy and grace even started at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. Even in Genesis 22:24, I didn't write much about it, but when we think about, glory to God, that disobedience of what God had already said, not either of the tree of good and evil, and disobedience was done, and God gave instruction to Adam first, and Eve had knowledge of it, but when she was deceived, Adam was disobedient, and nothing didn't happen until Adam ate the fruit, and what God instructed him, because he could have told his wife, no, we're not doing that, bind the devil up, kick him out, did whatever you had to do, but that didn't work that way. Praise God. So, but God's mercy, even though he put them out of the garden, before he even put them out of the garden, he was concerned even when they found themselves naked. Then they found themselves naked. He already knew what they looked because they were clothed under the anointing. Bless the Lord that it wasn't anything to be concerned about. Everything was natural and normal. They had everything you can have possibly, didn't have to want for nothing, didn't have to work, didn't have to do anything. But in the meantime, by disobedience, they got thrown out of the garden, and there was those angels and stuff like this there, where they got forming towards to make sure that they didn't get back in. But in the meantime, while even before that, he turned back around and had to kill an animal to make sure that they had to clothe them, glory to God, and they was clothing fig leaves after they found out that they were naked. But in the meantime, God blessed and provided. Afterwards and so forth like this, he still made provisions. And glory to God, because it could have been death in the garden at that time. But God, there was death to the point of, glory, the spiritual part, but it could have been but totally. But God's mercy. Glory to God. Though often used and interchangeable, grace and mercy, let me start with that. Grace and mercy, though often used interchangeable on the same coin, grace is a gift we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. Again, grace is a gift we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting the punishment we deserve. Grace versus mercy in Christianity. King David, despite being a great ruler, he was a fornicator and an adulterer. He was a murderer, but he is not alone, because plenty of us, glory to God, plenty of us, as well as Bible, old patriots of Bible characters, have done something terrible as well. Some of the same points in their lives. Saul was a disbeliever. Moses was a doubter, and Jacob was a liar. God still blessed and moved his mercy and his grace. Despite this, God made them his witnesses and use them to accomplish his purpose. Not only did he forgave them, but he also endowed them with unmerited favor. God's mercy and grace, despite having sinned over and over again, he shows us mercy. Praise God.
We're getting there, almost finished. Kindness and compassion. He sent his only son so all of us can be saved. An act of grace that we do not deserve. A saving grace is that which provides salvation to a person. This type of grace is manifested in Jesus Christ himself, whom he set to save us all. Grace and mercy are undoubtedly God's ultimate expression of love, that agape, for us. But how should we respond to those undeserved kindness? Praise the Lord. Meditate on that. But we already know all that he's done. He's requiring us to make our bodies a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable. All glory to God. We got to get to a place that, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. He knows the flesh. He already been through it. He was a man that knew no sin. He came here as a child, glory to God, through the birth, through the canal, just like we did through a woman, a virgin woman. And he came, glory to God, and learned, glory to God, his obedience through his suffering. And when he even did come as the Son of God, he turned back around as well, made no reputation for himself, but always pointed people always to the Father. He denied himself. He was even in the garden, in the desert, led by the Spirit of the Lord, and the enemy tempted him, glory to God, in so many different points. And he said he had been tempted in every area that we can even think, glory to God, of some of the things he was tempted of all at once. So everything we could ever go through, he's already been through, and given us the Holy Spirit, his word, his anointing. He gave us, glory to God, and he said not only the gifts, but he said that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Gave us the authority over the adversary, gave us power and empowered us, and given us anyone that lacked wisdom, as he said in James, this acts of him. And thank God for his mercy and grace. He also is of an advocate, so we can run to him, the rock that's higher than us, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything we need, starting even as babes, eating and drinking the sincere milk and getting over into the meat, getting to a place that you want him and love him and desire him more than anything, loving him with all our soul, heart, mind, and spirit, taking on his word, taking on his anointing, taking on his spirit to be able to use to be a blessing back to the body of Christ and those, glory to God, that are out there in darkness to be that light. Go out in the hedges and the highways and compel him. He give us everything we need, the wisdom of how to go through and everything that we need, glory to God, to accomplish the mission on this journey. Bible teaches to recognize, accept, and to grow. Recognize, accept, and to grow. Recognize, accept, and to grow. To be able to recognize, to be able to respond to his grace and mercy fully, we must recognize our need for such. We must humbly accept we need, glory to God, a Savior. We are sinners and imperfect, and we need Jesus. Accept grace and mercy for free, never asking anything in return. Accept these acts of love with whole heart. Grow. Accept his grace. We begin to grow in love. In time, these seeds of love that's planted in our hearts will take root and bear fruit. Say it again. Growth. Accepting his grace, Jesus Christ, we begin to grow in his love. In time, these seeds, the word of God, of love that planted in our hearts will take root and bear fruit. Through actions of kindness and compassion, spread it to the world. In John, I can't remember whether it's the 14th or the 15th chapter, it might be 15, at 15, 16, I think it is. But anyway, it says, you didn't call me, I called you and ordained you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. We are bought with a price, no more our own.
And still, we still trying to take over these vessels and still do our own thing. But he already said it was finished. All his suffering, everything he did at the cross before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. So it's now up to us to make the choice. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And you know what? Sometimes you look at believers and they still need to choose you today. You choose you today. Who are you going to serve? Because your flesh is saying one thing, your mouth is saying another thing. That's why he says, you praise me with your lips, but your heart be far from me. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not my sayings? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. They're only to the transgressor. Praise the Lord. Now, grace by God endures in spite of. Abraham and Sarah's unbelief, glory to God, as it's 12:3b, well, overlook that one. Abraham, glory to God, feared, had some fear in him when it was approaching some, I can't remember whether it was in Egypt or where it was, that this particular king or whoever he was, and what if he was afraid that he might kill him and take his wife. So he said, Sarah, you are my sister. Now, to a certain degree, it may have been, but the main thing of it is his fear brought him to the place it put Sarah in a compromising situation. She didn't argue with, as she called him, Lord. She didn't argue. She just went right along with it. And then look what God had to do. He had to turn back around and made it so uncomfortable, and I can't remember whether he allowed something to come upon this man as well, and he wanted to know why did not Abraham tell him who they were and whatever. And God even caused the enemy to turn back around and bless him. But the thing about God's mercy, because putting her in that situation, he could have ended up in death, and he could have been end up her, glory to God, in a situation where she's married and had to now be in an adulterous situation by not her choice. So there's so many things when we make decisions how the outcome could be, but God's mercy and his grace. Sarah and Abraham laughed. Because at first in the Bible it talks about, we don't talk about that much, that Abraham laughed at first too when he heard the word about having a child in his old age. But then there came a time when those the two angels came to talk to Abraham, and whatever she heard, overheard it, and she laughed. But nevertheless, when God say a thing, thank God for his mercy and grace. When God say a thing, it will come to pass. And some things go over to God in the mercy and the grace. He give us time and certain things to correct, and other times we have to suffer the consequences, and some things we may lose, and not only just be delayed, but may lose. But the Lord bless, glory to God, that child to come to pass, even in their old age, when their body was not even producing, glory to God, even for to be able to have childbearing either way. But God bless. Grace for Joseph gave him strength and preserved grace for him when he said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good in Genesis 15:50-20. God sent Joseph ahead to preserve for, glory to God, not only just his family, but his whole Egypt and whatever, because of his wisdom that God has given him through those dreams and brought him, glory to God, in the place where he was. Out of all his trials and everything he had went through, made him second in command. And the wisdom, glory to God, that God blessed for him to be able to save Egypt and his family and bring them there where they can be able to live there too as well. I think about also, glory to God, even with Ruth, there was a time and so forth like this of the mercy and grace of God when Is it Ruth that said, I'm going to see the king? Oh, Lord. No, that's Esther. When I'm going to see the king and so forth, when we talk about that right there, at first it was a situation where Mordecai wanted to kill, I may have him backwards, but I have it is, her uncle and so forth like this. I can't remember what the man's name now when I think about it. Wanted to kill him and also come against the Jews. And she went to, glory to God, his niece, and told her and so forth like this what she was possible to do to be able to go talk to the king. And nobody goes to see the king and stuff like that about being summoned because you can end up dead. But nevertheless, after she had them to fast and pray, seeking the face of the Lord, she went before the king. If I die, let me die. I'm going to see the king. So she went, glory to God, on the behalf and petition, glory to God, to intercept for her people and how the Lord blessed and exposed the enemy in the name of Jesus. And God bless the mercy and grace. God is so awesome. The woman with the issue of blood and whatever like this, God's mercy and grace. She could have been or been bleeding for many, many years. And glory to God, the use of all her funds, seeing doctors, this, that, and the other. At the last result, glory to God, crawling through the crowd. Just glory to God, just being in the crowd, but even crawling to the point that glory to God in the crowd to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ to get her healing. She was no wise supposed to have been out there among people with glory to God that condition. She could have been stoned to death, but the mercy and the grace of God, she got her healing. Blind Bartimaeus, glory to God, cried out, glory to God, shut up, the other ones wanted to tell them, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. All glory to God, the Son of God. Praise the Lord, God bless in his mercy. Glory to God, he was able to get his divine healing. Oh, praise God. Peter, oh, glory, denied Jesus and whatever, because he was like gung-ho. He loved Jesus, and this, that, and he'll do anything for me. Cut off the ear, glory to God, of the soldier. But God had already told them while they were out there. He said, watch out, pray so you won't enter into temptation. Ask them three times. They were just sleeping. But so we get up, glory to God, don't hear instructions. Don't get the word in you like you ought to. You get part of it, or you just get it and just go to sleep on it and just fly out the window. Gets up, glory to God, and the fighting he was doing was not the kind that Jesus was talking about. So he cut off the ear, but the mercy of God put the ear back on. But then later and stuff like this, things happen. Glory to God, when Jesus really got into a situation where he said that, oh, I'll be there for you. I'll die for you. I'll do this. We can say a lot of things in our feelings and our emotions with challenges come up. Because there are sometimes things can come in and overwhelm us. And sometimes we can get caught up and being overtaken in a thought and some things and whatever like this. Because, you know, sometimes we just boast too much too and things and whatever like this. And every trial don't mean we're going to come out the same way. And so in the midst of it, he turned back around when Jesus, I mean, when he was following Christ and seeing that they had apprehended him and everything and all that he had to go through, Peter was in denial thrice to the point he even cussed. In the midst of it all, he was so bitter about all what he did and how sorry he was. Ah, look at the mercy of God. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Lord, you know I love you. I'm told me you'll be the rock, Lord, at the building's church. The mercies of God. Oh, and so many patriarchs and so many things that then went on in the Bible. And you think about Elijah and what of how powerful he did to work on Mount Carmel, glory to God, and the 400 prophets that was killed and this, that, and the other. And then Jezebel, one woman after God that did great and mighty works. He running for his life because Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him all. And he said, I am the only one. Jesus, God said, I have 7,000 or 700 that have not bowed, neither Baal. Oh, bless the Lord, for through the trial and through it all. And then he had to let him know, glory to God, that, you know, through his still small voice, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in this, he wasn't that, but he was saying still small voice, but how God blessed and raised him up. And praise God, he had made Elisha his, oh, what's the word? I had it right on the tip of my tongue. God for him to receive the mantle, because he said he wanted to be the he wanted a double portion, but God blessed him to I can't think of the word, not supersede him is not the word I want, but nevertheless the Lord blessed. But thank God, there's so many powerful testimonies and different things in the Word of God and through different things, even through Paul's life and how he was before he gave his life to Christ and all of this writing and how powerful God used him. And then glory to God, others that have gone through some things and repented and came back. Some that was ungodly things and so forth, and God raised them up, and then they turned back around just like with Israel. And it's like this with the adopted Israel, with us adopted family, even today. God will give us some instructions and whatever. After a while, you're falling, glory to God, back into things that God then told us not to do. But the Lord blessed for his mercy and his grace has been upon believers from the beginning of time and for his people. But there comes a time when judgment and things he done had to do with Israel and others so disobedient, when he turned back around and they didn't want to hear him, he had opened up the ground one time, and when they were disobedient to God, and when Moses came out of the mountains, he had to with the Ten Commandments and the anger and whatever like this, and fell upon those that didn't want to do ground opened up and swallowed up some. There was times, glory to God, out of disobedience with a king doing some things, and then why we can't win? But glory to God, because sin was in the camp, and certain ones end up, glory to God, dying in war and whatever like this is because the fact of it is things were going on in the camp that shouldn't have been going on. Then it's all but God's mercy and grace, even at this hour, he give us time to get some things right and whatever. And sometimes he has to chastise us. And sometimes, glory to God, in some lives, death does take place too. But God is a just God, a loving God, a caring, a merciful God, and whatever like this. He know how long each one of us. It may seem like sometimes he's not just, because this one went through about 17 trials. They done went through right here. They done turned back around. They done did this. They caught and they done fell off the cliff. They done turned back around and the car done burned. They done turned back around and had this many accidents. They done turned back around and got over in here. This one over here done did that and this, that, and the other. And then some may have three or four times and something happened. Then it may be another one they finally wake up after 17 times. Then there was another one over here they never did, and they end up having to leave here. But God know each one of us what it's going to take in the long run for you to finally get to that place where you'll yield. And if he got something that he said is to come to pass in our lives, we can't look at, well, how he get 10 times? How he get 17 times? And this is over here at 3. Some of us even told, man, if we go back, that's the end for us. And we might not even have it that one time or two. But he knows what will transpire whenever. Glory to God, our lives take a turn here and there, and he know what it'll take to bring us back in and what allows to bring back in. Praise God, like we said about this servant that turned back into the cave, a believer that wrote this, the amazing grace as a slave driver and whatever, trader and whatever, and the storm that took place that threatened his life and the ship, not so much that he was concerned about the cargo covered his ship with the cargo in it, evidently, and whatever, and it made a difference in his life and so many other things. We knew what it took for each one of us to come in and to allow God to change our lives. And we thank God for his mercy and his grace. And so many other things can be shared and things talked about God's grace and mercy when we think about our own lives, the things that we've been through, things that we've got that brought us out of, situations that we're in. Some could have been adultery. Things could have got killed, could have got murdered, whatever, could have fornication, could have been out there with drugs, could have been out there in other things, rape, and then getting bitter and want to destroy. And some, glory to God, have been maybe shot. Some maybe are guilty of some other situation to bring harm to someone. Some may be through theft and other things that I went on, some glory to God of some things. If it wasn't for God, even some things, his grace and mercy in situations that happened beyond our control. But then again, our response in the thing and whatever what may have occurred and happened, some of the things, glory to God, that we done did that, you know, is not even talked about except God allowed for a testimony. And some things, glory to God, it's so quiet about that he didn't release you to say anything. Others might be ashamed to say so and whatever. He might want you to say something, but we just got to let God help us through whatever it is. But thank God for his mercy and grace. Some that were rebelling and disobedient when God told you to do some things and you didn't do it and still not doing it. But in the meantime and whatever, and all of it don't have to do with ministry. Sometimes it could be somebody you want you to forgive, but you're so bitter about what took place. Why they don't be the one to say forgive? They all recognize what they did. God telling you to go because there's a purpose in it all, because God got a way of dealing with others' hearts, even in our humility and so forth. Like, because he said if a person hungry and your enemy, give him food. If he thirsts, give him water. Honey, that's the word of God, and it'll never change. But how many of us as believers speaking in tongues and doing great things and mighty things, the Lord got a part of pride and said, still yet won't do it the way God say do it in that manner. And then if God wants you to apologize, then don't be going to buy me some candy, some teddy bears, or go over to God, buy me a dinner. When God say apologize, it's not your sacrifice. It's your obedience to that he say do. And so you want to open your pride for mouth to say, I apologize. Whether it be your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, the friend, the person that betrayed you, and then you did something else to retaliate, your part in it. Help us, Lord. Even sometimes the disrespect we have for our leaders and the way we have because we were hurt by the way they did this or didn't do, or somebody over that we felt so close to, never thought that they would betray us or say this or say that about me. Jesus was talked about before he even got here, and after he was here, he was even called Beelzebub. He out here saving, delivering, and healing, and whatever like this. How are you going to be greater than your Lord? If he went through, you're going to go through. If they obey my sayings, they're going to obey yours. If they didn't with mine, how do you expect them to obey? If you're going to reign with him, you're certainly going to suffer some things. But he said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver you out of them all. There'll be trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When are we going to do it like he say do it and deny this flesh? And the way we're hurting it, well, we give it those things and those cares unto the Lord so he can heal us and he can deliver us from all those things that the enemy is trying to destroy us with. Praise God. I'm going to get ready to end now, praise the Lord. Other ones just sharing some information, praise the Lord, for us to really think about sometimes, even though we've been triumphant and God has blessed us and to overcome and to grow. There's so much still yet, like Paul say, just like that I may know him in the suffering, the power, know him in the power of his resurrection, and even through his suffering. James 1. But the thing about it of it is, we got to get to a place where no matter what, God, I'm going to trust you when I can't trace you. God want to change some things in our lives and rearrange some things. He want to grow us up and groom us. We can't sit in the same condition or familiarity of how God move in our lives in ministry or in our lives when we hear his voice. If you want to grow even in an organization, a company or whatever, when you started off as a layperson, you become the supervisor, you don't do the same job and you can't be on the same level as you were with the people when you were a layperson. When you were supervisor, now you're a manager. Okay, so the roles change. When you become the CEO, you don't go back and go back to a management cycle. I mean, supervising level or whatever. We got to get to a place, be able to go with change, so that way we can know his voice even the more. Because you're so familiar about, oh, when the Lord blessed me, I get a little hair, or my hair is on the back of my neck, or even my hands start trembling, or I can feel the power of the heat in my hand, and I know it's time to lay hands, and I know it's time when God just getting ready to do, or either I feel this this in my belly, and he want to take us from the ABC principles and shift us to the next level. We got to be able to be so close to him, draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us, that we'll be able to flow under the anointing, and we'll be able to, closer we get to him, as one of the things say, the more and more we'll have the fruit, those seeds that are planted, the more and more the fruit of glory to God, of righteousness and holiness and whatever, and mercy and grace, the more our heart will be open to compassion and love. And then some of the things where we used to be so hard about, will our heart become softened, and then we can be able to understand and hear and comprehend sometimes why this person do this, why they were in that, or either open our ears more so we can listen, because we're hearing some things, but we're not actually listening and comprehending, so that way love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy and grace can be extended. And then sometimes we forget how it was extended to us, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on this high-minded kick or to the point of pride and this, that, and the other. And glory to God, he said he hate pride. Pride go before fall. We got to get to a place in humility. You can still have your identity, but you'll be led by the Spirit of the Lord, and that way you won't fall so prey to flesh. Because no matter who we are, how anointed we are, how long we've been saved, what our title is, the devil don't care nothing about all of that. All he's concerned is looking for an opportunity, a door to enter in, so he can turn back around and drive that vehicle. And turn back around, he's going to try to drive it off the ditch, drive it off the cliff, drive it to the point, glory to God, because he knows some of us not going to just say, I gave up on Jesus. But anything I can do for to get you compromising, get caught up in prestige and power, or glory to God, to get you walking in unforgiveness and bitterness and agitation and aggravation, every time you turn back around, you're showing partiality to people. And he said he don't do that. Jesus said he doesn't do that. And he said his word is not for no private interpretation. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to get ready to go. James, a servant of the Lord, in James 1, of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the 12 tribes scattered abroad in the nations, greeting. Consider, number two, consider it pure joy, my brother and sister, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And if we don't let God mold and make us through these tests, because we got to know that you identify with Christ and that you are steadfast in submitting yourself and committing yourself to do his will and not get caught up on, glory to God, like a ship out there on the ocean. And then either you're changing sides when things get a little hot, you go back over there and serve your father, the devil, or you get back over here because it's only one or the other. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the enemy. Your flesh is involved in the fact that you're going to submit your flesh, submit your spirit to the Lord and crucify the flesh. Okay, let me continue to read this. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Learning how to be perseverance, pursuing after the Lord, submitting to the Lord, and producing, glory to God, perseverance so that you can be completely lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, that the person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, such as a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers, 8th, 9th verse, in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildfire. For the sun rises and scorches heat, and the withers, and the plant blossoms, falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, not while they go about their business. And they're not talking about just because you get rich and whatever you are, but you know, some people are so caught up in their riches. And what about, he said, what profit is a man to gain his whole world and lose his soul in that way? Because God wants us to be blessed and prosperous and be in good health and prosper as our soul prospers. But he would desire for us to be blessed and even in the abundance. So when we get to a point where we put that first, the possessions first, before him, that, and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now this other part here, 12th verse. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that's not just on the other side. There are blessings that you will receive right here, even in the earth realm, in your submission and obedience to the Lord. Praise God. But looking for on the other side is the main priority. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brother and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be led and be kind, the kind of fruit of all creation. Oh, glory to God. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That's why he wants us to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He wants us, glory, to cast all our cares. He made us aware of the devil, that he's a thief, killed and destroyed, but I came to give you abundant life. He made us aware in Peter that, glory to God, he comes like a roaring lion. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you. He already said he wants you to be sober and diligent and so forth like this. God wants us to be blessed. Oh, glory to God. He wants to use us for his glory. He wants his will to be done in us. He wants to live a life that's pleasing in his sight. He wants to use these giftings and talents that he gave us. He wants us to walk in the peace of God, that peace that passes all understanding when we keep our hearts and minds steadfast on him. He even said in Philippians 4, rejoice again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Then be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, he wants us to be able to make our requests known to him and then give thanks to him. Then I'll give you that peace. Then I'll give you that mindset, glory to God, if you think on those things that are true, noble, lovely, earnest, and of a good report, glory to God. He wants us to be in a place where we be whole and healed. Glory to God. He wants us to be able to run with the horsemen. We'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. We shall not be moved. He'll be able to, glory to God, as we delight in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. If we walk upright before him, he'll hold no good thing from us. Oh, he'll give us, glory to God, the blessings of the Lord that added reach and rich and make it no sorrow. He go all the way back to Deuteronomy 28, said he made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. When the enemy comes in one way, I make him flee seven. You go back to Psalm 23, he says, glory to God, I set a table in the presence of your enemy. Glory to God. He'll say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, glory to God. Oh, that staff and the rod shall comfort. We got to be in a place that we trust what he said. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Preach it, teach it, prophesy it, prophesy it too as well. Doing it is a different story. Hearing the word, knowing the word, that's why it's so important. Not just to be here, because people learn the letter, glory to God, and can go to school and repeat and recite. Glory to God, even anointed men and women, glory to God, will articulate that well, the word so well. But when trials come, you'll be surprised some how they stand up under the trials. You got to get it in your spirit.